Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Some of the last words our Lord uttered here upon the earth are recorded for us in John the 14th chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Recorded in Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18 is a passage that closes with full assurance of the Lord coming again. Paul ended the 1 Corinthian letter with the word Maranatha, and that word simply means, Our Lord come. There's no doubt that the message of the Bible, and it's plain in its teaching, that Jesus is coming again. Now we read of other comings of Jesus. He came to this world in the form of flesh, fashioned as a man, Emmanuel, God with us. He came to his disciples after his death and resurrection. And in a sense, he came when the Holy Spirit overwhelmed the apostles. And in the sense of executing wrath and judgment against Jerusalem, he came in the destruction of that city as he foretold it in Matthew chapter 24. But we speak in this lesson of his final and personal coming. People react in various ways to this revelation. Some scoff, others are curious, some are glad, and many are made fearful. There are many questions that people can raise and can justifiably be raised about the forthcoming event. Because there are many questions for which God has not provided inspired answers, some, lacking revelation, have jumped into speculation and fanciful theories. They have even invented entire religious systems centered around their speculations and their guesswork and their invented theories, such as the false doctrine of premillennialism. Now, there are answers to basic questions revealed, and they are given to us for our learning pertaining to the coming of Christ. When will Jesus come? Well, some declare confidently that Jesus is coming soon. There's even a song that some mistakenly sing that so declares, Jesus is coming soon. Friend, that ought not be sung because it's misleading. We have no way of knowing when the Lord will return. Now, it may be soon. It may be before you finish hearing this lesson. It is not a question of whether he could come soon, but whether we have any evidence that he will come soon. This we do not have. Sensational preaching has been delivered about the so-called signs of the times by denominational clergymen, and many have fallen victim to these speculations. Matthew chapter 24 shows clearly, however, we do not know and we cannot know when that return will be. But we can also be just as certain that the day of the Lord will come. Now, Paul said he was coming. But Paul foretold an apostasy beforehand, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said that apostasy was already at work in his own day. But he said the apostasy would not come while he was still standing in its path. History shows apostasy did overcome the Lord's church. And even so, this does not tell us when Jesus will come. Delay has caused some to think that he's not coming at all. The parable depicting the return of the Lord in Matthew 24 is an encouragement to be ready whenever he comes. Being prepared is what the Lord emphasizes rather than the time element as to when. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verses 1 through 10 says he will come as a thief in the night. That means he will come, dear friend, without announcement. Matthew chapter 24 teaches that life will be continuing as usual, as in the days of Noah before the flood. The signs to which some erroneous teachings point, recorded in Matthew 24, are signs that Jesus gave that would appear before the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, not signs to announce his final return. And whatever those signs mean, and whatever those signs were, they've already occurred because Jesus said in verse 34, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." In view of the certainty of his coming, but the uncertainty as to when, Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" In other words, Peter is persuading, seeing the return of Christ is certain, how should we live? Can there be any doubt as to how we should live? We might note here that the day of his final return will be the last day, John 11 and verse 24. It is also the day that there will be the resurrection, John 5, 28 and 29. Well, why will the Lord return? Well, friend, it will not be to set up his kingdom. We can be certain of this because his kingdom already exists. Those in the church at Colossae were already in the kingdom, Colossians 1 and verse 13. Jesus said the kingdom would come in the lifetime of some of those to whom he personally spoke, Mark 9 and verse 1. The truth of the matter is, the church and the kingdom are one and the same. And it came into existence on the first Pentecost after his ascension in fulfillment of the kingdom prophecies. Christians are kingdom of priests, Revelation 1 and verse 6. John said that he was in the kingdom, Revelation 1 and verse 9. John the Baptist had preached that the kingdom was at hand, which simply means nearby, soon to be, nigh upon us, Matthew 3 and verse 2. Christ now reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords. Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 30 that Christ was promised to be raised to sit on David's throne and would receive that throne after his resurrection, verse 31. The apostles were witnesses of his resurrection, verse 32. And Christ is now on the right hand of God, verse 33, having received the promise from the Father that the Father gave him. To sit on the right hand of God denotes his rank and his authority. Stephen says the throne is in heaven, Acts 7:49, not here upon this earth. No, friend, Christ will not return to begin a literal 1,000 years reign in Jerusalem. There is nothing in Scripture that teaches the so-called rapture of the premillennial doctrine and that so-called great tribulation or an earthly reign of Christ. His kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said, John 18, verse 35 and 36. There is no scripture that teaches that he will ever set foot on earth again, but rather, the redeemed shall meet him in the air and ever be with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17. Old Testament prophecy teaches that no descendant of David will ever reign in Jerusalem, Jeremiah 22 and verse 30, and Christ is a descendant of David. Jehoiakim, who was of the seed of David, and also known as Coniah, was next to the last kings of Judah, where Jerusalem is. The last king was not his seed, but his uncle Zedekiah. If Christ did set up an earthly kingdom and rule from Jerusalem, then he would break and make the false inspired prophecy of Jeremiah. Thus saith Jehovah, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling in Judah. Dear friend, this prophecy simply says that after this man Coniah, there would not be any more of the descendants of David sitting in Jerusalem to rule. Now, Jerusalem is in Judah. There simply would not be any more there. How can Christ then come, being a descendant of David, being a descendant of Coniah, and set up a throne to reign 1,000 years? The whole idea is fraught with absurdity, and it is anti-biblical from beginning to end. There will be no earth upon which the Lord or anybody can set up anything when Jesus comes. Second Peter chapter 3, 12 and 13, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The redeemed indeed shall have a new habitation. When he comes again, they'll live in a new realm. But this earth and all pertaining to it shall be no more. When he comes, it will be the day of resurrection. John 11, 20-27 teaches the day of the resurrection is the last day. That simply means there's no day after the final day and the final return of Christ. There will only be the resurrection and the judgment. John 5, 28-29 says the day of resurrection will be the judgment day. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with verse 13, teaches the day of the resurrection is the day of the Lord's return. 1 Corinthians 15, 24-26 teaches that Christ will reign until the last enemy shall be destroyed, and the last enemy is death, and death will be destroyed with the resurrection of all. Again, the Lord will come to deliver his kingdom to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. And those in the kingdom shall be with God eternally. And those outside the kingdom, which is his church, shall not be so delivered. Friend, Christ will come to separate the good from the evil, the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff, Matthew 25, 31-46. He will come to render vengeance against the disobedient, 2 Thessalonians 1, 6-9. He will come to bestow reward upon his servants, Matthew 16, 27. And what will be the manner of his coming? Acts 1 and verse 11 says, it will be as he ascended. He will come with clouds, Revelation 1 and verse 7. Every eye shall see him. He will be with holy angels. He will come as a thief in the night. It will all occur in the twinkling of an eye. It will be accomplished by the destruction of the world and man's resurrection. It will obviously be a moment the likes of which never has been or could be again. It will be fearsome, a momentous, awesome occasion. Yes, Jesus is coming. We are sure because the Bible reveals that information to us. But whether we be ready for that day or not, that's what matters. We have been warned to be ready. We're instructed to prepare. We have been promised God's blessings and we will follow His will. The only preparation is to be faithful in Christ. We enter into Christ by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith and being baptized into Christ, and walking faithfully before Him so long as we live. We thereafter are to abide in Him and walk in the light as He is in the light until death takes us from this earthly sojourn. Then when He comes, regardless of when, all will be well with our souls. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.